You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Sent it to the judge, and the judge signed the order, and now the loan servicer has changed, and they're now trying to say, we didn't agree to that. And I'm saying to the other lawyer, you had the authority to sign it. You did sign it. The cases are very clear. Your client's bound. Plus, the prior servicer's representative was at the mediation and authorized this. And so we're now waiting to for the client to finish their last three trial plan payments, and we're hoping that what's going to happen is that they're going to get a modification. But the next payment is due January 1, and I've already sent this other lawyer a very polite letter saying that we expect to have a mortgage modification in hand by January 31st, or we're going to move to enforce litigants' rights.
And with that, we're going to end the law program. We'll come back after the news with the sports guys. Thanks, Bill.
You're most welcome, Pat. It's always good to be here.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett. Bernie Sanders' campaign manager is accusing the Democratic National Committee of holding their campaign data hostage. Jeff Weaver responded to a flap involving the improper assessing of data gathered by the Hillary Clinton campaign.
We are announcing today that if the DNC continues to hold our data hostage and continues to try to attack the heart and soul of our grassroots campaign, we will be in federal court this afternoon seeking immediate relief.
A Sanders staffer has been fired, and the DNC is suspending the Sanders presidential campaign's access to a key voter database. Weaver described it as a firewall problem and blamed it on a vendor working for the DNC. He complained that the suspension has, quote, shut down access to our own information. President Obama is again defending his anti-ISIS strategy. In a White House news conference, Obama insisted that ISIS will eventually be defeated. He also warned that ISIS will continue to be dangerous for a long time. This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett.
B-Dubs presents B-Dubbing.
All right, they're up by 21, but now's not the time to quit. Now's the time to
buy a holiday gift card at Buffalo Wild Wings.
They think they've beaten us, but yard by yard, we're going to
purchase gift cards totaling $25 or more.
And we will
get a blazing bonus worth up to $100.
Who's with me? Yeah! Now let's go to
Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
No purchase necessary. U.S. residents 18 plus for a limited time while supplies last. Limit 4, void or prohibited. See participating location or buffalowildwings.com for details.
Get your Plenty card at Exxon or Mobil and start earning points at lots of places.
So I get points for filling up at Exxon?
You sure do.
What about getting coffee at Mobil?
Points.
Streaming TV shows on Hulu?
Definitely.
Points on my AT&T wireless bill?
Yep.
Buying soap?
At Rite Aid.
Buying you a birthday present?
Points at Macy's.
Visiting your parents?
No. You get marriage points.
Oh.
Exxon and Mobil are the only fuel brands that are part of Plenty, the rewards program that lets you earn points at one place and use them at another. Join Plenty for free through a participating Exxon or Mobil station today. Terms and limitations apply. See Plenty.com/partners for details.
President Obama is cheering congressional passage of a massive spending bill. During a year-end news conference at the White House, Obama commended Republicans and Democrats for working together to keep the government open.
This is a messy process that doesn't satisfy everybody completely, but it's more typical of American democracy.
The more than $1 trillion package funds the federal government through September of 2016. Obama said Democrats succeeded in getting Republicans to remove ideological policy riders from the bill. The measure includes an extension of more than $600 billion in tax breaks favored by Republicans. A lawyer for the former Chicago police officer charged in the shooting death of Laquan McDonald wants the murder trial held somewhere else. Attorney Dan Herbert and his client Jason Van Dyke appeared in court today. Herbert told the judge the ex-cop couldn't get a fair trial in Cook County given the intense media coverage of the case. Van Dyke has been free on $1.5 million bail since November 30th. This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
When you're looking for gift cards at your local store, you might notice one that's redeemable for shares of American stocks. Terry Jack, the chief marketing officer at the Black Hawk Network, says it's as simple as it sounds.
You buy it like any other gift card, and you can buy it $25 or $50, and then you go, and you can go to stockpile.com, and you trade that gift card in for a piece of stock.
Jack says a recent Ipsos survey found that just 28% of Americans play the stock market, but a lot more think they lack the education and the money to trade effectively. She thinks millennials will find this especially interesting. Just look for gift cards for stock. A new startup will bet on the bonds of your holy matrimony. The Seattle-based company named Swan Love promises to fund couples' weddings free of charge up to $10,000 as long as they stay married. If they get divorced, they have to pay the money back with interest. Couples that do stay together don't have to pay a thing. The money collected from Swan Love participants who are later divorced will be used to provide funds for future couples' weddings. The company is currently accepting applications and will launch next year. And the new Star Wars film is not only wowing moviegoers, it's cleaning up at the box office. Star Wars The Force Awakens took in a record-setting $57 million in the U.S. and Canada on its opening night. The latest addition to the Star Wars series is expected to pull in as much as $220 million over opening weekend. If it does, it could surpass the $209 million mark set when Jurassic World opened in June. For breaking news, we're at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology.
Well, we're here, Bill and I, the two sports guys. Not sure if the other guys are coming in, but just want to let you know a little bit about the weather. We're starting to get some December-type weather. Could be some snow flurries tonight, but low of about 28 degrees. Possibly some snow flurries, although I think they're thinking mostly cloudy. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, but the high is only going to be about 39 degrees, so that's a lot colder than usual, up to about 44 degrees now on Sunday. Actually, this forecast has been changed because we thought it was going to be up in around the 50s earlier, and so it will be nice. It'll be sunny, high of about 44 degrees, and you know, into the week, they say that it'll be warmer by Thursday, Christmas Day, although we're expecting showers because it probably precipitation about 60 degrees. But in any event, we're here with the sports guys. And what, three more regular season games? Is that what we're talking about, football?
I think that's right. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and that somewhere is right here. Huntington County Chamber of Commerce, Internet Radio. I'm Bill Wolfson with Pat Smith, and I'm getting excited for Saturday, 8:25. The Jets are visiting the evil Dallas Cowboys, who are, 4-7, and the Jets are 8-5. The Jets, if they can win, go one up on the wild card slot and become tied with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers, on the other hand, are playing the Denver Broncos at Pittsburgh, and Denver's a good team. So I'm hoping that at the end of the day, the Jets win, and sorry to my brother-in-law Lance and all his pals out in central Pennsylvania. I'm hoping your Steelers lose and my Jets win. Meanwhile, we also have a very, very interesting game, I think. Green Bay at Raiders. And how's Green Bay going to avoid a letdown, Pat?
I don't know. I mean, they are not playing well. I mean, I know they won the last game, but they did not look, the score looked better than the game, is all I can say.
They didn't look sharp. That's what I noticed.
They really didn't. There's still a lot of injuries. They've got a lot of young guys that are coming in. Some of them are doing very, very well, actually. And, you know, I it's interesting to see Rogers and Rogers. The other Rogers is very modest, nice guy. And so it was really nice to see that he seems to be doing well. And Aaron Rodgers, unfortunately, is taking some pretty bad hits.
I notice the offensive line does not seem to be protecting him well. They're not opening holes for running backs. And I was very surprised. Is Green Bay's offensive line that banged up?
They are. They are. And although I have to say, Lacy has done much better. That combination of Lacy and Starks has really been, that looks like Lacy's back. You know, he was nailed by the coach for, you know, not making curfew, and you know, he was actually benched for a while, if you call it benched. I mean, they, you know, he should have been playing, or he was expecting to play more, so that he looked good. Starks looked good. They don't, you know, they don't have the receivers that they need. They don't, you know, Adams is not consistent. Cobb is good, but he's been really, they've been, you know, covering Cobb so well that he hasn't been able to do much. You know, it's just, you know, they don't have my old Donald Driver any longer. And, of course, Jordy Nelson was just, you know, tremendous.
Well, he's been out hurt most of the season.
Well, the whole season he's been out. And then there were a couple plays where, if you've ever watched Green Bay and think that they're booing, they're not. When Coons does anything, they all say this. I mean, universally, the stadium says Coons, and it sounds like
sounds
they're
like booing.
It does. They're not. They're saying his name. So he's still in there and still makes some good plays. But
so are they going to beat Oakland?
Well, I think they should be able to beat Oakland. I think they're going to have a tougher time against Arizona. And then the last game is Minnesota. Whoops.
That's,
I think,
probably John Manfreda.
We'll see who's
but, you know,
in.
I was very interested, Pat. I was hoping the Bears would help out, help you out by beating the Vikings at 1 o'clock right
it
before
is.
Your
Are
kickoff.
You
so, what we're really looking
okay,
for is
on the radio.
A Jets win. We're looking for the Giants to unseat the Panthers and to make the give the Panthers a one black eye they're probably going to get all season, because I don't think the Panthers are going to go undefeated.
Good.
Hopefully
good.
The Giants will run the table, keep John Manfreda happy. And I'm hoping for a Bears win over the Vikings, although I need to hold my breath, I'm sure. And we've got the Philadelphia Eagles, who are going to have a tough time with the Arizona Cardinals at 8:30 Sunday night. So let's
Ken,
see
are
where
you
that
on?
Takes us to.
Ken, are you on?
Pat,
no,
I can hear you.
There.
I can hear Ken.
Yes, hi, Ken.
Ken Millstreet, how you doing today?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
Good. Where are you calling us from? Your car or the Tasty Bakery?
Bill, I was just telling Pat, for the first time ever since I've been a member of the radio show, I actually came home, got done with work early, came home, relaxed. I said, oh, great, I'll have plenty of time to get over to see the sports guys. And what do? I sat down, fell asleep, and woke up 5 minutes ago.
No, there's nothing wrong with that as long as you don't sleep through the show.
Exactly.
Just talk a little louder. And so what do you want to talk about? We were just starting to talk football, of course.
Yeah.
And any predictions for this weekend?
A lot of interesting games this weekend, Pat. Almost every game, it seems, has some sort of playoff, you know, playoff possibilities. And, of course, to me, as a Giants fan, the big game is Giants and Panthers.
Do you think the Giants can unseat the Panthers at 1 o'clock on Sunday?
You know, Bill, I really don't. I keep looking for a reason to think the Giants can win. The Giants have the worst defense in the league, and the Panthers scored 41 points 2 weeks ago. They scored 38 points last week. I can't see any logical reason to think the Giants are going to slow them down. On the other side of the ball, the Giants' offense, they can't run. And basically, they have one receiver. He's a great receiver, but they have one receiver. I keep looking for a reason for the Giants to have a chance. It's going to have to come down to turnovers and some special teams. They have to win the turnover battle. They have to win the special teams battle if they think they're going to have a chance against the Panthers. And believe me, the Panthers are motivated. They're 13-0. They're coming to the big market. the New York, New Jersey market, and they want to make their mark and be 14-0 and finish undefeated.
Yeah, so they really want to go 16-0. And you know what? They have a. I think they have a good chance.
They
now,
do,
what
they do indeed.
What they can't do, though, is think that the Giants are going to be a pushover. Well, and if they get too confident, that's the problem.
Well, that's also the problem with Green Bay at Oakland, which is the game that I'm a little worried about for you, Pat. But getting back to this Panthers at Giants, if you're Tom Coughlin, what's your game plan?
Well, that's a good question. I think
those are the only kind I ask, Ken.
It's always I think the Giants and Coughlin, their game plan is always to try to establish the run to be able to set up the pass. And I think they have to be, like I was saying before, that's, I think, the best way for them to be turnover-free. Because if they just start throwing the ball around the stadium and ignore the running game, chances for interceptions, chances for Eli getting knocked down and fumbling the ball, I think, rise dramatically. So the Giants need to come out and really try to control the game. And the way you do that is with the running game.
Well, that means that the offensive line has to carry the day for them. And I think the offensive line is pretty beat up. Plus, you also have the Panthers, whose defensive line has been playing very well. One of the things that I noticed is that the Giants, whenever they need 5 yards and it's not quite third down yet, they're going to Odell Beckham because they just don't trust their running game.
Yeah, and unfortunately with Cruz out for the season, they don't have a really good second option in the passing game either. So they really need to keep that Eli to Beckham connection going strong. Otherwise, it's really going to be very difficult for them to move the ball.
Yeah, but you don't think the Panthers are really, they're going to know what the strategy is, and you know, they're going to really make sure that Beckham is, you know.
He's going to be double teamed and triple
teamed. He will be double teamed. So the only thing is whether they'll be able to take advantage of that. And, you know, I mean, Eli is just not as mobile as Rodgers. I mean, one of the things that they have to worry about with some of these quarterbacks is that they're, you know, they have to be careful or they're going to run and make that first down.
Yeah, and that's the problem. The Giants have not had a consistent second option in the passing game all year. Hopefully, to your point, they'll double-team, even triple-team Beckham, and that'll open up the field for somebody else. And
well, that's what you have to hope.
Experienced quarterback like Eli, hopefully he can take advantage of that.
Yeah, you would think so. If he can't, shame on him.
Yeah.
Right.
What do you think about Jets-Cowboys? I'm hoping the Jets go down there and not make Jerry Jones very unhappy. That's Saturday night at 8:30.
I think, Bill, last week we talked about Jets-Titans. I told you that my opinion was the Jets would roll over the Titans. I think the same thing's going to happen to the Cowboys Saturday night. I think that they're a superior team. They're motivated. They need to win to stay in the playoff race. Cowboys don't have a lot to play for. I think the Jets will dominate the game.
Well, if the Jets need motivation, the Steelers are hosting the Denver Broncos, and the Broncos have been a good team. And
yeah,
so that, they can get some distance.
The AFC wild card race is really down to three teams now, right? The Steelers, the Jets, and the Chiefs.
That's exactly right. Then I think everybody is 8-5 right now, so December football is where it counts. That's why I'm interested in Bills Redskins. That's a game that I might watch if the Panthers run away from the Giants. I'm looking for the Bills to get well against Washington, and because I don't think Philadelphia is beating the Cardinals at 8:30 Sunday night. I just don't see it.
Probably not.
I mean, Philadelphia
Those Redskins. Is that a game in Buffalo or is it in Washington?
Pardon me?
Is that game in Buffalo or Washington?
Oh, the game's in Washington at 1 o'clock.
But the Redskins are tough at home, Bill.
Oh, they are. And they get better all the time, and Cousins become a better quarterback all the time. And, you know, you've got DeSean Jackson, who was embarrassed last week by the Eagles and even more by himself with his tantrum. So hopefully Rex Ryan will show what kind of a coach he is and be able to shut the Redskins down again. You have DeSean Jackson, who is frankly a talented guy, but can't seem to keep himself under control. So what I'm looking at is the Bills to win. But this could be, you know, a run-the-table kind of weekend. The Giants lose, the Redskins lose, and the Eagles lose. So the least of the East. I mean, in Dallas, you know, the Jets could certainly have a letdown and have a problem. But
oh, they should win that game.
I
don't
would
you
hope,
think?
I would hope. But, you know the way Jets fans cheer. They go J-E-S-T, Jets, Jets, Jets.
That's a good one.
Yeah. You know, that's what Giants fans say about Jets fans. And I like the Jets. I think the Jets are a great team. I've always followed them, even as a kid. And I'm excited. But, you know, Pat, one of the things I was really interested in seeing is whether you think the Bears can beat the Vikings and help out your Packers.
I don't think so. I really think the Vikings will take that game.
You don't expect a surprise?
But I like to see Cutler take that team and beat the Vikings. Of course I would, because I don't want, you know, anything to happen to make that last game between Minnesota and Green Bay meaningful. I want that to be a meaningless game, because it's January 3rd, and, you know, anything can happen between the Vikings and the Packers.
You just want to have it to be a tune-up for Green Bay to step into the playoffs.
Yep. And to, you know, win the division, to get, you know, hopefully, I think they could still get home field advantage, couldn't they? Yes.
I think so, too. I think so. The Minnesota has to collapse. And, you know, Adrian Peterson is still playing well for them.
Oh, Adrian Peterson is great. I mean, I've watched him for years. He is a fabulous player. He really is. You know, there are always those players that you're going to remember, you know, 5 or 10 years from now. Adrian Peterson is going to be one of those for me, despite the team he plays on. Do you have some of those folks that you've always been interested in, Ken?
You know, Pat, most of the folks I'm interested in are either Giants or on my fantasy team. So other than that, I hear what you mean about Peterson, though. I just saw a stat today. Since 2007, he's accumulated more yards from scrimmage than any player in the NFL. That's with, I think he sat out last season, right? He didn't play at all last season. So
nope, he didn't.
It really tells you all you need to know about Adrian Peterson. That's how good he is.
Oh, he really is.
They've opened some tremendous holes for him.
I think so. The Vikings haven't been playing that well lately, though. So, and the Giants are going to beat them next week, so they better win this week.
Well, let's hope so.
Who?
The Vikes.
No, we don't want the Vikings to win. We want Chicago to win.
Yeah, but he's saying that he thinks the Giants are going to play the Vikings next week.
They're going to lose next week to the Giants.
Oh, well, I hope that, you know, I hope they lose this week to Chicago. And anybody, I think any Packer fan, I suppose unless Chicago was challenging the Packers for first place, any true Packer fan would rather see Chicago win than Minneapolis. They really would.
Well, let's turn now to my favorite sport, hockey, in the NHL. The Flyers beat the struggling Vancouver Canucks last night 2-0, and Steve Mason was in goal, and he turned back to his old form. They got some very good scoring from Matt Reed and great play out of Jacob Voracek, who had one of the assists, and the Flyers are looking better all the time. But how about your New York Rangers?
Well, you know, Bill, this is the third week in a row you asked me this, and every time I kind of say, you know, they got off to a good start, and they were 16-3, and they were due for a bad streak. But, Bill, this is going on for 3 or 4 weeks now that the Rangers have not played well. They lost again last night to Minnesota. They just they haven't looked good. I mean, they're still 19-10. They're still in a position to make the playoffs, but they need to turn things around before it gets any more serious, because they really haven't played a good game in about a month.
Well, you know, why did they move Stoll to Minnesota? Because one day he's a Ranger, the next day he's on the ice against the Rangers wearing a Minnesota uniform. I was surprised.
Yeah, it was a little weird. One of their deficiencies on the team is faceoffs, and he was their best faceoff man, and they cut him. Kind of strange. I guess they felt that he wasn't contributing enough in other areas, and he just wasn't cutting it. I think what they ended up doing was they let him go when they called up a couple of young defensemen, Brady Shea, rookie just played his second game. He looks good. I think he's here to stay. They have another kid named Dylan McElrath, 6'5", 240-pound defenseman. They've nurtured him in the minors for 3 or 4 years, and it looked like he was going to be a bust. He was a first-round pick, I guess, 4 years ago, but he seems to have come into his own. I think McElrath and Shea are the future of the Rangers on defense.
Well, the Rangers are at Winnipeg tonight. I noticed that the other night, Ronta, their backup goaltender, took a huge, very painful puck right to the face mask and had to be helped off the ice. Henrik Lundqvist came in and played well, but this was a day to rest Lundqvist, and now you have the Rangers at Winnipeg tonight, and Winnipeg is not a bad team.
No, not at all. That'll be another tough game.
Yeah,
Winnipeg's a young team. The Rangers are a little bit older, and I think that's why they're trying to bring in some of these new younger defensemen. Because over the last 4 years, here's an interesting stat you might not be aware of. The Rangers have played more games than any team in the NHL over the last 4 years because of their deep playoff runs.
They
don't have a cup to show for it, but they've gone deep. And I think it's starting to wear. The wear and tear is really starting to show, particularly on their defensemen.
They're not old yet,
but they're getting close to 30 years old,
mm-hmm.
and they've been beat up pretty good the last few years. And I think the wear and tear is really starting to show.
Well, I saw the Rangers brought up Chris Summers from Hartford of the Wolfpack, and hopefully we'll get to see the Wolfpack up at Lehigh Valley on January 16th as a part of a Chamber Sports Guys trip. But I see they also called up Magnus Hellberg, who was the goaltender again at Hartford, and the Rangers seem to look like they're a little shaky. But the smart thing is they didn't have a morning skate. First of all, to let some of the barking injuries calm down. The second thing I think is that Alain Vigneault knows how to bring people up and down, and he should be congratulated for keeping the team as together as he had.
Hey, guys, let's take a break and hear from some of our sponsors, and Ken, stay on, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Go ahead, Pat, hit that money button.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, Financial Advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the 4 key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Well, we're back. Let's see. Ken, are you still on?
Ken, you still with us?
I'm still here, Pat.
Oh, good.
Oh, that's great, Ken.
Just
Ken,
talk a little louder.
Ken, okay. The Rangers are at Winnipeg, and they're pretty banged up. Winnipeg, interestingly enough, is one of the worst special teams groups in the NHL, both on the power play and the penalty kill. They're both number 27 these days. But the faceoff is 8 o'clock tonight. If anybody gets MSG or Turner, you'll be able to see it. The Hockey Network is probably going to be showing the Montreal game because Montreal, as you know, last night had a very nice win. And they're playing Saturday at Dallas. The two best teams in each conference are matching up. And I think that's going to be a very exciting game. Faceoff is 7 o'clock. And we're going to learn an awful lot about the Montreal Canadiens and the Dallas Stars after that game is over.
Yeah, the Stars are really a high-powered offensive team, and so is Montreal. So it should be, you know, that game of defense will be a shootout. You know, Montreal doesn't have their goalie. Carey Price is not healthy yet, so that might, swing things in Dallas' favor a little bit, but you're right. I think it's a good test for both teams to see where they stand against the best team in the other conference.
Now, how does Dallas do as far as fans? Do they have a big fan base?
Strangely enough, they do. Dallas comes very close to selling out just about every night. Since they became a good team, when they get the puck and start coming up the ice, you start hearing people yelling "Yeehaw" and things like that. It's funny. I watched Philadelphia at Dallas, and unfortunately the Flyers lost 3-2. Actually, it was 4-2 because there was an empty netter at the end of the game. But they played Dallas very close and outplayed them, I think, in the first period. But then Dallas has much greater depth, particularly on defense. And quite frankly, Michael Neuvirth kept Philadelphia in that game.
Well, I wonder if that's because there are a lot of transplants in Dallas, because you just don't think of hockey in any of the southern cities. And, Texas has been such a big football state forever.
I mean, oh, yeah.
Grammar school, high school, colleges. I mean, you have some small colleges that have some terrific teams down there. So you just don't think much about hockey.
Yeah, Pat, I think you hit it on the head. I think the NHL was ahead of their time. I guess it was about 20 years ago, after Wayne Gretzky got traded to the LA Kings, that kind of opened up the southern part of the country to hockey. And with the migration, the slow but steady migration from the Northeast to places like Florida and Texas and Southern California, I think hockey is a pretty big spectator sport in those places because of all the influx of people from other areas. And now it's ingrained. You know, they've had hockey in Los Angeles for, well, close to 50 years now, but
right.
In Florida, they've been there 25 years, and people are used to, you know, it's not a spectacle anymore. It's they're ingrained growing up to be hockey fans and rooting for the Lightning or the Panthers or, you know, whoever their team allegiance
is. Are the kids playing it the same way they are here? I mean, you know, this is, you know, I grew up in Wisconsin, and all the kids, we all played hockey out on the ponds, but, I mean, you didn't have all the indoor rinks. And here in New Jersey, I mean, there's so much hockey being played by the kids. Do you think that's the same in the southern states?
That's a great question. You know, obviously they're not playing on ponds in Dallas, Texas, but
that's for sure.
Or they're not playing on ponds in New Jersey, and probably not in Wisconsin. I mean, we have something called global warming, but
not this year. That's a good point. But I think when you look at the rosters of players in the NHL, they're coming from places like California and Arizona and Texas. So,
well, look, well, even Florida.
They're doing something with hockey in those places.
Oh, that's for sure. Look at Flyers rookie defenseman Shane Gostisbehere. He's from Florida. Go figure that one out. And the interesting thing is that Dallas has forwards who only a handful of them are from Canada and none from the U.S. And then if you look at their defensemen, only Alex Goligoski, who doesn't sound like it, but he's from Grand Rapids, which I think is Minnesota, Pat?
Michigan,
excuse me. And
you know, those Midwestern places, once you get...
They mix you up once
you
get from New Jersey.
You know, west of New Jersey, who knows?
Right.
But the exciting guys to watch are Jamie Benn, who's their captain. He's a great hockey player. He's from Victoria, British Columbia. And Patrick Eaves, another Canadian, a great right-handed shot. So you got some pretty exciting people there. And, of course, Patrick Sharp, who used to be a Blackhawk and has now found his way to Dallas. Big mistake on the part of the Blackhawks.
Yes, it was.
But remember, they just followed in the Flyers' footsteps because Ken Hitchcock gave up on them, too. And Patrick Sharp's come back and killed Philadelphia time and time again.
But, you know, that's true, though. There are some players in football the same. I know much more about football. But they're pretty mediocre, and then they'll go to another team, and they just flourish. I mean, it just, there really can be, you know, I think a good matchup for the players and the team and the coaches.
Well, sometimes it's the coaching, and sometimes it's the chemistry of the other guys you play with. I'll give you the perfect example in Philadelphia. Simone Gagné was a good forward until they paired him with Peter Forsberg, one of the greatest players ever to put on skates, who came over from Sweden. And Forsberg played for years and years with the Colorado Avalanche. All of a sudden, Simone Gagné scores 50 goals because Peter Forsberg is dishing the puck to him and opening up space for Gagné to show just how talented he really was. So, you know, Forsberg was one of those guys that made everybody else on the ice better, just like P.K. Subban at Montreal, great defenseman, does. But you're absolutely right, Pat. Sometimes people just need a change of scenery.
Well, you know, I'm so glad that he went to the Packers, but I often wondered what would have happened to Brett Favre if he had stayed in Atlanta. I don't know if they would have ever given him the same chance. Any comments, Ken?
Well, I would think, Pat, I don't think there's any doubt that he wouldn't have gotten the exposure because Atlanta was just not as good a team as Green Bay. I mean, let's face it, Favre, as great as he was, he had a good team built around him. He could be a great quarterback in Atlanta, and no one would ever know it because they would typically go 7-9, 8-8, 6-10 every year, and he wouldn't have gotten the notoriety or any of the postseason accolades or any of that. And who knows what his career would have been? How many career great Atlanta Falcons can you name?
That's true, and it always surprised me because you know Georgia in the South, a hotbed of football. You would have expected that a pro team would be drawing from schools like LSU and Florida State and, you know, Auburn or Georgia or Georgia Tech and really picking up on those guys and trying to showcase them so people could see them after they were in college and almost like an SEC all-star team. But the Falcons have continuously disappointed their fans.
Yeah, they've had a career or a franchise of disappointment. They're one of the few teams that have never won a Super Bowl. Am I right? They've never won.
That's right.
You're right.
That's right. Same thing with the Philadelphia Eagles.
I think they played once and they lost.
Yeah, well, we have another team closer to home that I think has the same poor record. I think I'm sitting across from one of their biggest fans.
That's true. The Eagles have not won a Super Bowl. I think the last time the Eagles won an NFL championship was 1960.
I think you're right.
Yeah, and I think Sonny Jurgensen was the quarterback, and you practically have to be a caveman to remember who that was.
Hold on, I remember him.
I do too. Okay. I guess we're cave people.
We must be Neanderthal because I think that was the last time the Eagles really won all the marbles. You know, you could call it back in the Bronze Age, practically.
Well, but wait, they won that second playoff game against the Packers. I went to the game. I think it was a game against Seattle Seahawks. Packers won. Then they had to go to Philadelphia, and at least that year they were looking pretty good because the Packers were looking great that year.
That's right. The Eagles have come close so many times. I saw the Eagles look absolutely terrible in 04 in a Super Bowl against Tampa. Tampa just wiped the floor with them. And again, back in the early 80s, they were in a Super Bowl and lost to the Raiders.
Right.
And it was an embarrassment. So, and it was, and none of those games were the kinds of games where the outcome was in doubt until the last couple of seconds, which makes it a really exciting Super Bowl.
But there haven't been, there have not been a lot of really great Super Bowl games, have there? I mean, I've not been that impressed with so many of the Super Bowl games.
Well, I enjoyed the Giants beating the Patriots twice.
Everybody would enjoy team beating the Patriots.
But in both of those games, the outcome was in doubt until the last couple of plays.
That
makes it fun.
That's true. You're right.
Well, the Giants have been in 5 Super Bowls, right?
Yeah.
5 Super Bowls, and
they've won
3
what,
of them.
Two?
Came down to the last play, the one where they kicked the Bills missed the field goal,
yeah,
right,
on the last play, and then the New England games. The Patriots had the ball, and were at least had an opportunity to score in both of those games.
That's
yeah,
right.
But that game, what was that? 2007, 2008. I sat and watched that. I sat and watched the Giants at the playoff game in Green Bay. And I have to tell you, I was very impressed. And I thought I would have bet money, if I ever bet money, that they would win the Super Bowl. And nobody was really confident out here.
That's true. Green Bay, some people say they tanked. Some people just said they just had a bad game. They didn't play
well. I mean, it was close if Favre had not thrown that interception at the end. But
that was overtime, right, Pat?
What?
That was overtime, right?
It was, yes.
Yeah.
I think it was. My recollection, it was overtime.
I thought Green Bay was going to dominate that game.
No,
very
and
honestly.
They didn't. Well, nobody could have dominated that game. They were lucky they weren't out there frozen little statues. I mean, that was the one that was 13 below zero.
I remember that game.
And that was true temperature, 13 below zero. I don't think I've ever been colder in my life. But then only the Packer fans would sit there to the bitter end. I don't think anybody left that game.
Is it true that Packer fans are inoculated with antifreeze at birth?
Well, we do know how to, when they talk about layering, we do know how to layer. And the funny thing now is they're being much stricter as to what you can take into the stadium. So it's very interesting because you can't imagine what people used to, wear and take into the stadium to stay warm. And now they're being much more careful about it. I'm not sure I'd get in with, some of the outfits that I'd had on in the past.
Well, I always admired Green Bay fans who would wear coonskin caps with the raccoon's head and claws and tail, and they...
You mean you didn't have one of those when you were a kid?
Oh, I did.
Everybody
as a child.
Did.
Yeah, I had a Davy Crockett hat. My grandfather made it for me, and it had a real raccoon head on it. But what was really impressive to me was going to Green Bay in 2002 and seeing all these guys in coonskin caps. And I asked one guy where he got one, and he said, "Shot him." Where? Backyard. He was trying to get into my trash. And apparently it's a source of pride for a lot of people in the wilds of Wisconsin, Pat, to have one of these hats. But you're a wuss unless you've shot the raccoon in your own yard or somebody else's yard. And you don't wear that hat to a Packer game. I think that's even more cool than the cheesehead thing.
Well, I don't wear a coonskin cap. So, Ken, what else? Have any predictions for this weekend?
Well, I'll tell you what, Pat. One team that we've overlooked in our discussion so far tonight is the Seattle Seahawks. They have really, after playing about the first 2 months of the season very inconsistently, the last 5 weeks they've scored at least 28 points in every game. First time in franchise history they've had, and I think that's something the rest of the NFC, they better take notice of, because Seattle's going to be a tough team come playoff time. They're not going to win the game, but they'll get a, I think I'm quite confident they're going to make the playoffs, and they're going to be a tough team to beat.
No, I think you're right.
They'll probably play, I would think, right? They're going to play the winner of the NFC East, because they should be the top seed. You know, I'll put my crystal ball on for, they'll be the top seed among the, you know, the two wild cards. So they'll get to play the winner of the NFC East. Am I right?
I'm not sure how that works.
I'm not sure how that works either. Or with the Giants, assuming they're going to win the NFC East.
Well, don't we have to know what their, you know, how many games they've won before that's determined?
I don't know. We're going to have to call the league office and see how this works.
Well, Seattle,
they always change it.
They'll get a home game, but they will be the lowest seed of those with a home game. And I think that means they play the top wild card team. I could be wrong about that.
Well,
but
remember, Seattle,
a tough team to play for anybody.
Oh, Seattle is tough.
Remember? Oh, especially if they play at home.
Yeah.
I mean, that really makes a big difference.
Well, you know, Seattle has an 8-4 record.
End up playing the other wild card team for the conference championship. But their first two games will definitely be on the road.
Right. No, that's true.
Yeah, you would expect that. The thing that I don't get is the tiebreakers. I mean, I understand if you've beaten the other teams in your conference or you have a better conference record. But when you play the teams out of your conference, where are you? Where do you stand? I don't know how that works. And if you end up in a wild card game, how do you determine home field advantage?
Well, but if you're wild card, you're not playing at home.
Usually you're not. But you're usually a wild card team is playing the division championship because remember, there's two wild card teams, and they've each got to go somewhere,
right.
But there's three division champs.
Well, but there's also the bye.
That's right. They get a bye. Thank you.
So.
Yeah, you're right, though, Bill. The ways they break the ties, you really have to study that to really know it.
Yeah.
And it changes every week because some team wins a conference game, another guy loses a divisional game, and all of a sudden what you thought you knew last week is completely different this week.
Well, the wild card eligible teams right now in the AFC are the Jets at 8-5. They're the number 6 seed. The Chiefs at 8-5 are the number 5 seed. The Broncos are at 10-3 are the number 3 seed. And the Colts at 6-7 are the number 4 seed. Meanwhile, the wild card round is Vikings as a number 5th seed, the Packers as a number 3 seed, and they have a 9-4 record. I don't know why the Packers aren't finishing first and getting a bye. But you got Seattle as a number 5 seed at 8-5, and the surprising Washington Redskins at 6-5 are the projected number 4 seed.
That doesn't make any sense to me, but I'm not following it, so I'd have to look at the numbers.
Oh, yeah, you sure do. But, you know, everybody else is in the hunt, including the Steelers, the Eagles, the Giants. The Cowboys are not mathematically eliminated yet, but they're getting close. Same thing with the Saints and the Bears and the surprising Buccaneers. I'll tell you, without Jameis Wilson, I think the Buccaneers wouldn't be worth watching.
But I thought the Bears were eliminated.
I don't know, Pat.
And I thought Detroit was eliminated.
Well, if not, they should be. They're terrible.
No, I thought the last game when they played the Packers, that ended their season.
That could very well be. I mean, there's still a lot of teams in the hunt. And that may, you're right, they may have gotten knocked off already. What's surprising to me is that the Jaguars and the Texans and the Bills and even the Raiders are still in the hunt.
The Texans? I thought they were out too.
They're projected 10th seed. They may not get in, but they're not eliminated yet. So,
well, don't forget, Bill and Pat, that AFC South is about as good as the NFC East. I don't think there's a team with a winning record there.
Yeah, you're right.
The Texans, they're not very good. Jacksonville's not very good, but they could win out and finish 8-8 or whatever and win the division.
You know, that still seems to be unfair to me that you could have a division that two teams are really good and, you know, with both have winning records, and then you can have teams in other divisions that have losing records, and yet the losing record gets to play.
It could happen in the AFC East. You know, the Jets could potentially finish 11-5, lose out on tiebreakers, and not make the playoffs, and the AFC South champion could be 7-9.
Yes.
That's
yep.
true. That's true.
Well, it has happened.
It has. You know, the Jets have Jets play the Cowboys, as we discussed, and then the week after they're at New England, they host New England, and then they're at the Bills. So I think
they have a tough season.
Yeah. You know, the Cowboys, you can't call that a laugher because no game's a laugher, but Patriots will be tough, even though they're probably on autopilot by now. Belichick's going to have them playing well. And you also have the Bills, and I think Rex Ryan's got something to play for because he's still in the hunt. And if the Bills are still in the hunt, they play the Redskins this week, they play the Cowboys, and then they play the Jets. So to some extent, they could run the table if they're smart, because the only team they have to play with a winning record is the Jets.
Yeah, you're right. Those are three winnable games.
That's right. And they could win all three and embarrass New York out of a good season. I think Todd Bowles has worked wonders with this team.
Yeah, I did too. Last year, the Jets won four games under Rex Ryan, and now the Jets are 8-5, and you know, right in the middle of the fighting for a playoff spot. So hats off to Bowles and the Jets.
Oh, that's right. The Jets have managed to come along, and Fitzpatrick has shown that he can play quarterback. I mean, if you look at the Eagles' schedules, they've got the Cardinals, the Redskins, and the Giants. So,
hey, guys, let's play a couple more spots so our sponsors won't get angry with us, and then we'll come back for a wrap-up. So just we'll be back in just a minute or so.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunter and Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunter and Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
I think we were drowned out. Ken, you still with us? Ken?
Ken, you still there?
Well, I think we lost Ken.
I don't know.
So let's just wrap it up. We have
a few more. I'm still here. I put you on mute.
excuse me.
Oh, okay.
Well, Ken, let me just say again, we're trying to put together a hockey trip either for January 16 or February 16. I'll have more information on that as I speak to the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, and hopefully we'll get a good sign-up for that. We're hoping for at least 20 people.
Yeah, boy, anybody that's listening and is on the fence about going to this event, don't hesitate. If you can make it, definitely worthwhile. It's a great family event. It's the next best thing to seeing an NHL game, and you're seeing very good quality of play in a great venue. So I would recommend it to anybody. I'm going to be there on either game, Bill. You can definitely count on me and probably my wife, Dawn, as well.
I think that's just great. Thanks.
And I think, this will be a trip, it won't be a drunken brawl, so you can bring your kids.
Well, that's
right?
Exactly. As Don Cherry liked to say, I went to a boxing match and a hockey game broke out.
Hey, folks, I'm going to sign off. Bill and Pat, you have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Well, and to all our listeners, I hope you have a very... If you've celebrated Hanukkah, you're done, and now it's Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're getting into gear. We use Hanukkah in my house as a warm-up for Christmas. First, we have our 8 crazy nights with family and friends, and now we're really into the holiday spirit, having digested all those latkes and tzimis and all those other Jewish delicacies. We're looking for see what's under the Christmas tree, and I'm hoping there are a couple of good football wins, and I hope the Flyers keep to their winning ways. They're 7-3-1 last 11 games, and I wanted to make an announcement for those of you who like boating as much as I do. There's a winter event being run down in Toms River by my club, the Cedar Mar Yacht Club, in connection with the Tall Oaks Yacht Club, the Barnegat Bay Yacht Club, which also does ice boat racing, and the Windjammer Yacht Club. Saturday, February 20th, between 11 and 3 at the Adrian Hall in Ocean Gate, we're going to be having our winter event. First, the Coast Guard will be there to talk about safety and their Suddenly in Command program, which is for cruising couples. Maybe the husband knows how to do most of the things on board, but the wife doesn't. So it deals with how do you sail back in an emergency? How do you use emergency communications? What safety procedures should you have? And how do you get help when somebody's sick on board? Then we're going to have, as a special guest, Carol Bradshaw, who wrote a book about the shipwreck Fortuna. The Fortuna sank off of ship bottom in 1910 in a storm when the boat literally broke up. And then at 2 o'clock, we're going to hear from Paul Hart, who has lots of boating lore to tell us about Barnegat Bay. He's the director of the Tuckerton Seaport Museum, which is a place that's really worth going to. Admission includes lunch. It's $10, pay at the door. And anybody who's interested should give David Gromack a call at 908-638-6948. It's going to be fun. It's always a great event, and it'll be in Ocean Gate, the town that time forgot, the decades could not improve.
Bill, did you mention ice boating?
Oh, if the Barnegat freezes, there's going to be ice boating.
I can't believe that it really freezes enough that they can go ice boating, but that was a great sport. I don't know, Ken, if you're still on the line, but that was a great sport in Wisconsin. If you ever have a chance to go ice boating, I mean, it is, it's like a boat on an ice skate, and they go so fast. I mean, I haven't done it in years, but I remember as a kid, you thought you were going 1,000 miles an hour.
I've never been ice boating, but I've been to ice boat races, and if the wind is really up, these things just fly along. It's 50, 60, 70 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. And in Wisconsin, believe me, there was always a lot of wind on these northern lakes, and it's probably one of the more exciting things. And I've never jumped out of a never parachuted out of an airplane, although I wanted to. But I think ice boating would be right up there with kind of thrilling.
Oh, it's jumping out of an airplane is definitely thrilling. Been there, done that, and it's one long scream, but it's exhilarating.
Okay, well, it's about time to wrap up, and hope to see everybody. I guess, obviously, we will not be here next week, nor will we be here the following week. So we'll see everybody. I guess it's not only Merry Christmas, but it's Happy New Year.
It's back. Well, everybody have a great Christmas, a good 2016, and while the weather is still not too cold, folks, get up off that couch and be ready to welcome Santa and the new year.
And Bill will let us know the next time we're on. We'll let us know about the trip, the hockey trip.
I certainly